word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 1, verses 11 to 17. Please turn to page 86 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Amen." Zechariah, who was in charge of burning incense at the altar inside the temple, was surprised to see the angel of God standing at the right side of the altar of incense. But the news that the angel brought to him was even more surprising. The Lord's angel told Zechariah that he and his wife, who had no hopes for bearing children because they were too old, will give birth to a son named John, and that many will rejoice because of his birth. The reason why John was to live as a Nazarite, who was never to take wine or other fermented drink, and be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, was to bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord. The reason why such John's mission was such a surprise to us and made us think deeply was because the people of Israel were not foreigners who did not know of God. There were none other nation that had such close relationship with God like the Israelites. The story of God and the people of Israel have eternally become the words of God. And the story of God and the people of Israel have become a sample of the relationship between God and Christians, thus becoming a story of us. So, if the people of Israel needed to be brought back to God, despite their long relationship with him, we will also need to bring ourselves back to the Lord if we do not stand before God, no matter how long we have believed in him. Verse 17 of today's passage shows that what other duties John the Baptist bore other than bringing the Israelites back to God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John the Baptist was the person who goes on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. God, who goes before us, sent John before the Lord so that he may prepare the path for Jesus. Both of the times when John was born and Elijah was on his mission were spiritually gloomy times. When John was born, the people of Israel had vague memories of God's work because there were no other prophets after Malachi. Likewise, the time when Elijah was on his mission, the people of Israel were blinded by King Ahab and Queen Jezebel's idolatry, almost forgetting God's presence. John said to the people who came out to be baptized in Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." John called the crowds who came to be baptized brood of vipers. This is surely an embarrassing thing to say to anyone. The people of Israel were proud that they were the sons of Abraham. But this was their pride and prejudice that they have built inside themselves. So John yelled at the people of Israel not to brag that Abraham is their father and produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Repentance means to change your life of considering yourself as the master of your own life to making God the master of your life. Elijah the prophet also pleaded to the people of Israel in the first book of Kings, chapter 18, verses 20 to 21. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. The prophets of Baal that King Ahab supported were all over the land of Israel at the time. There were so many that these prophets even took on the role of Levites. The literal meaning of waver is to wobble. If a person is born with a short leg or breaks a leg while playing sports, he or she has to walk with a limp when trying to walk without crutches. So the Israelites were living a life of wobbling, once towards God and then towards Baal, due to serious injuries to their spirits. In fact, Elijah's proclamation didn't mean that they should choose one side or the other. It was a desperate plea for them to come back into the arms of God. The Israelites have never fully abandoned God. They worshipped God, but also served Baal and other idols to fulfill their desires and needs. But God tells us that worshipping other idols while believing in God is an act of abandoning God. The most used ingredient when making fake gasoline is the real gasoline. Likewise, the most used ingredient when making fake sesame oil is the real sesame oil. Still, we call them fake gasoline and fake sesame oil because there are other ingredients that shouldn't be there. Elijah's duty was to turn the Israelites back to live a life of worshiping God, instead of worshiping God and Baal together. But John's duty was to bring back the people of Israel to God once again. If we are to detail out John's mission to bring back the people of Israel to God, he is to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Turning the hearts of the parents to their children is the recovery of home, and turning the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous is the recovery of society. The last verse of the last chapter of the last book of the Old Testament, chapter 4, verse 6 of the book of Malachi, reads as follows: He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. The passage writes that God will send Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the children's to their parents. But Luke only says that John's mission will turn the hearts of the parents to their children. If the hearts of the parents that have turned away from their children are to be turned back, it is needless to say the hearts of the children should also turn back to their parents. For children, their parents are their last resort. Even if the children turn away from their parents or abandon them, the parents will never forever care for their children. They will always defend their children when all others point a finger at the children. It is the nature of the parents to try and save the lives of their children, even at the risk of losing their own. This is an article that I read about 2 weeks ago, and there was a fire in a residential area in Puan, North Cholla province. A mother of 3 sons dragged her first and second son out of the fire, only to find that her youngest son was nowhere to find. The flame was spreading wider, but she couldn't find her 5-year-old son. She jumped back into the fire pit to find her youngest boy. She eventually found her boy in the bedroom, but the two never made it out from the fire. It is such a pity. Even if this mother couldn't make it back into the fire-lit house to find her son, she would have lived the rest of her life in a deep regret. This is the nature of parents. Contrarily, about 4 months ago, I read another article about a cold-hearted father. This 20-year-old college student posted on the internet that he is suffering from a financial difficulty, so he will send his 7-month-old daughter away for adoption. He demanded a 600,000 won worth of compensation to a woman who answered to adopt her after reading his post. You might feel upset, thinking no matter how young or immature, this cannot be an excuse to be so inhumane. there was an article earlier this year. A married couple in their 50s who have lost quite a fortune from stock investment lit an ignition coal in their middle schooler son's room and ran away. Fortunately enough, his older sister, who was sleeping in another room, found him and was able to save his life. The couple thought that since their daughter was admitted to college, she'd be better off on her own. But their son, who was still in middle school, would have had a hard time living on his own. So they decided to kill him and take their own lives as well, elsewhere, by breathing in the fumes from lighting coals. Their son will have to live with the pain that his own parents try to take his life for the rest of his life. Who can relieve him from such pain? These kinds of articles weren't released just this year only. There were a lot like these last year and the year before. Not to mention that there were also quite a few in the international news. There are even more stories where the children have done wrong to their parents. The righteous and the most fastest way to solve this fundamentally is for the parents and the children to all turn back to God and stand before Him. When you start seeing God as an absolute being who does not allow anything to stand by Him, rather than as a relative being who compares Himself with other beings, that is when you can see the true value in yourself, and then recovery starts. When family members stand before God and the recovery of home begins, then the disobedient hearts turning to the wisdom of the righteous or the recovery of society will naturally follow. At the time, many families went through breakups. The parents complied with the Roman Empire and their children became members of the Zealots. Or an older brother colluded with the Pharisees and the younger brother with the Sadducees. So, a breakup of a family meant the breakup of a society, whether colluding with the Roman Empire, becoming a member of the Zealots, or building a tie with the Pharisees or Sadducees. All these people had one thing in common. They did not stand toward God. They all seemed like the disobedient to the eyes of God. The only way to bring them back to become one was to turn their hearts to the wisdom of the righteous. And that was John the Baptist's mission. Let me read verse 17 again. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The ultimate purpose of John to go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous is to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. In other words, the people of Israel are the people of God. So they are to be prepared to be like the people of God. This means that the people of Israel will be recovered to become the people of God. The Greek word laos, which is translated as people in English, is used 49 times altogether in the Synoptic Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and among them, 35 times in Luke alone. In the New Testament in whole, it is used 141 times altogether and 84 times alone in Luke and the Acts, all of which Luke has written. This is how much Luke used the word people. The word people, or laos, refers to the general public that are not in the governing class. It also refers to the people who are not of the high priest class. But in many of the cases, it refers to the people of God who God is responsible of. This means that God saves his people and guides them, just like a nation trying to take care of its people. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 says as follows, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Joseph tried to quietly break his engagement to Mary when he found out that she was pregnant when Joseph had never bedded her. But the Lord's messenger came to his dream and said that the baby was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and that he is to give him the name Jesus, the Savior, when he is born, because that baby, Jesus, will save his people from their sins. The reason why Jesus came to earth was to save his own people. And Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 69 says, "His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Zechariah was not able to speak when he could not believe the message that his wife Elizabeth will give birth to a son. And then he was able to speak again when his son John was finally born. That moment, he sang praise to the Lord. He sang that God has looked after and freed those people. Those people that God had saved were the people of God. Of course, those people do not only refer to the Hebrews. It refers to the people that God has chosen, and to everyone who regards God as their eternal King. The ultimate purpose of John's mission was to remind the people who do not realize that they are the people of God and do not live their lives as his people, that they belong to God, and prepare them to receive Jesus, the King of this land, as their Lord. In other words, his purpose was not to make those who do not belong to God become his people, but to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This proves how much the sons of Israel lived a life not true to being the people of God at the time. However, Zechariah chapter 2 verse 8 shows how hard God had tried to protect his people of Israel. "For this is what the Lord Almighty says, after the Glorious One has sent me against the nations that have plundered you. For whoever touches you touches the apple of his eye." God used many countries to protect his people in Israel. He used Egypt. He proved his presence through the seven tribes of Canaan. And then he used the Babylon Empire and the Assyrian Empire. And he cared for them so much as to say that laying a hand on his people is like poking his very own eye. In 4 weeks, the Advent Sunday, which we all celebrate the coming of Jesus on this earth and wish for his coming again, will begin. How many times has God proved his presence to prepare us to be ready to become his people? Looking back on our past, had he not proven himself through many big and small events, sent people at every hard times of life, and provide anything necessary? Not only that, had he not built this church 9 years and 4 months ago, so that we may build righteous faith in our disordered minds and make us his people who walk on the righteous path towards eternity, and turn past the Egyptian's heart, who had pledged never to preach at any church again, so that he may come to us. If we can remember such God's grace and presence, it is our job to become like Jesus. That is the best way to prepare ourselves to be ready to meet him. Let us pray. Father God, in the past, we were never your people and never received your compassion. But now we have become your people and earned your sympathy. Not only that, you have allowed us to be your people, your high priest, and allowed us to belong to you. Let us never forget the proofs of your presence to make us as we are now. But still, many a times we waver between you and the world in our daily lives, just as the people of Israel wavered between you and Baal at the time of King Ahab, not being able to stand before you. Many a times have we found ourselves satisfied with the worldly pleasure and momentary benefits, rather than with the joy that the truth brings and the pleasure that eternal life gives us. And yet, you have not gave up on us or withdrew us from being your people, but prepared us to be ready to be the people of the Lord. So we thank you. Help us recover our homes and recover our societies that we belong to by making us the true people of God. And let us walk forever with you, who prepares us to be ready to meet with the Lord. And allow us to become like Jesus. I pray in the name of Jesus, amen.